Hi, folks. Be sure to visit my website at dr-history.com for a short personal video message, to listen to the latest stories, and to leave a comment.
Right now, on this Tuesday, the 19th day of November, just days away from Thanksgiving Day, here he is with all of his help, his entourage, Dr. History.
Good morning, Zeb.
Good to have you here.
Oh, thank you.
Are you ready for Thanksgiving?
You know, I am. I hope we all remember really why we celebrate Thanksgiving.
Amen.
You know, this kind of beautiful country that we live in. So, yeah, looking forward to that, being together with family and friends.
Okay, so. And by the way, how big a bird do you have to stick in the oven to feed all year?
Well, this is our year to have all of our kids and grandkids come for Christmas and not for Thanksgiving.
Oh.
So it'll just be a small bird.
Small bird.
Maybe a pigeon. I don't know. Well, it won't take much.
Okay. What are we going to talk about today?
You know, a lot of times I've talked about people nobody's ever heard about.
Yeah.
Today I'm going to talk about two guys that I think everybody's heard about.
Oh, okay.
Jesse and Frank James.
There's a lot of misunderstanding about them.
There is.
Is there not?
There is. And what I'm going to tell today, again, is another author's version of what happening with them. So,
and the dirty little coward, Mr. Howard, and all that.
Yeah, they shot Mr. Howard. Yeah, so we'll just go through this and, you know, hopefully it's fairly accurate. That's
okay.
All I can say.
Well, shoot your silver bullet.
Right, here we go. So it's 1842. Okay. Robert and Zerelda James moved from Kentucky to a farm in Clay County, Missouri, where Reverend James assumed the pastorate of a nearby Baptist church. On January 10th, 1843, their first child, Alexander Franklin, was born.
Did you realize that a lot of families in the Old West, they were bad people, but they had reverends in their family?
Yeah. So Alexander Franklin was born, followed by another son, Jesse Woodson. James.
Uh-huh.
That was on September 5th, 1847.
Okay.
Well, Frank and Jesse lost their dad, who he kind of succumbed to the gold fever. He journeyed to California, where he got sick and he died. So that left his mother. But she was a kind of a strong-willed person. She quickly remarried, but this marriage kind of failed because this new stepfather was mean to Frank and Jesse, didn't treat him very good. So Zerelda entered into a third marriage in 1855 with kind of an easygoing but fairly prosperous guy by the name of Dr. Reuben Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the growing family remained on the old James farm even. They even had a few slaves, and they were sympathetic to the Confederacy when the Civil War erupted, resulting in their mistreatment of some of the Unionists. Well, and Frank actually joined William Quantrill's famous band of guerrilla warriors.
Oh, really?
Guerrillas, and there's a whole story about them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, he...
So Frank was older than Jesse.
Right.
And by how many years?
Just a couple, 1847 and 1843, so about 4 years.
4 years, okay.
Yeah. But they were... Frank participated in the vicious raid on Lawrence, Kansas on August 21st, 1863.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse began to ride with the raiders the next year. He was one of 30 men led by Bloody Bill Anderson.
I remember that.
Bad, bad guy.
Yeah.
Into Centralia, Missouri on September 27th, 1864. And there, the guerrillas executed 25 unarmed Union soldiers in cold blood.
Yeah, I remember that.
This was... Yeah. A terrible day in the history of the United States.
Right.
Anyway, at that time, Jesse actually suffered some severe wounds twice while riding with Quantrill. But he recovered enough to where he could go out and loot and raid until the end of the war. So Jesse and Frank returned to the family farm after the war, but their wartime experiences kind of headed them down a road that was not very good, and they had a more of a natural inclination to grip the handle of their revolvers instead of a plow.
Well put.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on the morning of February 13th, 1866, a dozen riders pulled off the first daylight bank robbery in United States history.
Hmm.
And I didn't realize this was the very first one.
In daylight.
Yeah. They were looting the Clay County Savings Bank in Liberty, Missouri, of $57,000.
Wow.
Now, that's a lot of money.
That was a lot of money back then.
Oh, yeah. Now, as the gang galloped out of town, whooping and yelling and everything, they gunned down a local college student by the name of George Wymore. And it was long been assumed that James and Cole Younger, who was a former lieutenant of Quantrill's, were the ringleaders behind this job.
So when did they have the affiliation with the Younger brothers?
It started right about in here, because Cole Younger was with them in 1866.
I see.
So they joined together, Frank and Jesse.
What kind of personalities were they? Kind of evil and sinister, or what?
Well, let me go along here, because there's some that claim they were kind of a Robin Hood type person, and others just the opposite. So, and I think that'll come out as we go along here. So, for the next decade, the James Younger gang robbed banks, stores, stagecoaches. After 1873, they struck trains in Missouri and in the surrounding states. Cole Younger and his brothers, Jim, Bob, and John, so there were four of the Younger brothers, they were kind of the head, the stalwarts of the band, and Frank James was a frequent participant. So they didn't always ride together, but quite a bit. Now, Jesse, actually, despite being younger than Frank and Cole Younger, became the leader of the gang.
How come that happened?
I don't know. You know, some people just have a natural ability to be a leader.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, he was ruthless, he was assertive, he was smart, he was quick on the trigger, and Jesse was a natural outlaw leader. And Cole actually disliked Jesse sometimes, and sometimes led his own holdups, but they were in addition to those he committed with the James Younger gang.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes they'd split up and go there to separate ways to rob and one thing or another. But because of their notoriety, the James Younger gang tended to get blamed for every robbery in the whole area.
I see.
Anytime anything happened, well, it was the James Younger. So anyway, Jesse sometimes published letters proclaiming his innocence, insisting that he had alibis for the time when certain holdups had occurred. So he was trying to clear his name from some of the things that he was being blamed for.
Did they ever, during the course of all these robberies, ever go back to their homestead?
Yes.
And why weren't they caught doing that?
Well, and we'll get to that too.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, you know, folklore tends to portray Frank and Jesse James as the Robin Hoods of the Wild West. They preyed on banks and railroads. They supposedly struck back at the banks and railroads who had taken land out from under small farmers and poor country people.
Mm-hmm.
But the members
all because of the Civil War, right?
Right.
Okay.
And the big money could just, I don't know, kind of take over farms and one thing or another if they wanted to. But the members of the James Younger gang were not folk heroes. They were violent men. They robbed and occasionally killed.
Mm.
So they weren't really the Robin Hoods of the West. Now, one of their more violent robberies occurred on December 7th, 1869 in Gallatin, Missouri. The James brothers nursed a grudge against the bank's owner, a guy by the name of John W. Sheets, and he was a former Civil War officer. Now, posing as customers, Jesse and Frank entered the bank. They started talking some minor transactions with this guy named Sheets. Well, when Sheets began writing, one of the brothers shot him in the head and the heart.
Wow.
Just boom.
Wow.
As a clerk, there was a clerk by the name of William McDowell. He ran for the door. He was wounded in the arm, but he shouted that Sheets had been killed. Well, Jesse and Frank, they dashed outside with several hundred dollars. And during the commotion, the brothers lost one of their horses, and they rode out of Gallatin on one horse. They doubled up. They stole another from a farmer, and then they took off south toward Clay County.
Let me ask you this question. Were the Jameses known by their physical appearance to where people could recognize them, like when they went into a bank?
You know, originally, no. But as time went on, they became more famous. You know, back then, I'll show you a couple of pictures here that I don't know when those pictures were taken or how they could be recognized, you know. So I don't really know how they could be recognized just on site. But there was a reward of $3,000 was offered for Frank and Jesse after the Gallatin murder and robbery. And a week later, four bounty hunters surrounded the James family farm. Okay, as Deputy Sheriff John Thompson approached the farmhouse, Jesse and Frank ran out of the barn. They jumped on some fast horses. There was an exchange of gunfire, followed by a running chase with Thompson leading the pursuit. At one point, Thompson reined in his horse. He got off his horse, and he rested his gun across the saddle to fire at the Jameses. The deputy's horse jumped, riderless, it pulled up beside the outlaws, and one of the brothers shot the horse dead, and the Jameses, you know, outdistanced their pursuers. Now, Zeb, you and I have been around horses a lot, okay? And I've gone elk hunting, deer hunting. I would never take my rifle and set it across the saddle of my horse to shoot at a deer.
Yeah.
So why did this sheriff, you know, it just wasn't a smart move on his.
I can tell you this, with my horse Stinger, if I were to take a 30-30 and shoot on him or near him,
yeah,
they wouldn't find me for 3 weeks.
Or the horse.
Yeah.
That's right. Anyway, not a very smart move by the sheriff there.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
So anyway, legends about Frank and Jesse James also stressed their regard for the common folk. But on more than one occasion, innocent bystanders were harmed or killed during their robberies. And in the fall of 1872, the gang attempted what they thought would be an easy heist. Three mounted gang members robbed the ticket seller at the Kansas City Fair. Now, that's kind of an interesting robbery.
At the fair?
At the county fair.
Really?
So one of the thieves, maybe Jesse, grabbed the tin cash box and cleaned it out. As he was fighting off the ticket seller, a guy named Ben Wallace, the thief pulled a pistol and fired a wild shot. Well, it hit a little girl in the leg.
Uh-oh.
At that point, the robbers took off. They galloped away. So, anyway, the James Younger gang branched out into train robbery on July 21st, 1873, at Adair, Iowa. Now, to stop their target, the outlaws pulled up a rail from the tracks. Well, obviously, this sent the Chicago, Rock Island, and Pacific train off the tracks into a ditch, killed the engineer.
Oh, my.
The bandits then looted the express car, collected valuables from the passengers before escaping. So
they were better at train robbery than Butch Cassidy.
They did a little better. But, you know, ruthlessness aside, the James brothers were not without a sense of humor. On January 31st, 1874, five masked members of the James Younger gang barged into the depot at Gads Hill, Missouri, held everyone at gunpoint until a train pulled into the station. After robbing the passengers and the express car of the train, the outlaws left a note detailing exactly what they had done. But they deliberately left out the amount of the stolen money from the they didn't put that in there, and because they said, quote, "We prefer this to be published in the newspapers rather than the grossly exaggerated accounts that usually appear after one of our jobs." So they wanted to set the record straight on, you know, what did we actually get? Well, the governor of Missouri offered a $2,000 reward for each member of the gang, while the U.S. postal authorities kicked in another $5,000. Again, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, boy.
And the governor of Arkansas added another $2,000, so we're now up to, what, $9,000?
So they're wanted in Arkansas,
Missouri. Yeah, and who knows where else.
And pretty soon Minnesota.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, seriously.
Yeah. Well, okay, so the Pinkerton Detective Agency put one of his best guys on here.
Yeah.
John W. Witcher was his name. But within a month, he was found dead. He'd been shot in the stomach, head and shoulder, and certain that Jesse and the gang members had killed Wiltshire, the Pinkerton agency launched a determined effort to find these guys. They killed one of their best guys. Well, the gang members went underground, but on April 23rd, Jesse married his lifelong sweetheart. Her name was Zee Mims. Okay, and such family functions as Jesse's marriage led to the Pinkertons to discover that Jesse and Frank periodically slipped back to the old farm to visit their family. That's what you asked about.
Oh, here we go.
Okay. Well, a posse of unidentified men who were probably Pinkertons surrounded the James farm one night in January 1875, thinking that the James brothers were inside and hoping to flush out the outlaws. The posse tossed in some kind of incendiary device that started the fire.
This, what you're talking about, was in the movie called The Long Riders.
Okay.
Do you remember that movie?
I don't.
It was about Frank and Jesse James, and it was called The Long Riders, and this scene was in the movie.
Okay, so there was an explosion, and it killed the 9-year-old half-brother of Frank and Jesse, wounded their mother, which resulted in her hand being amputated.
Right.
Well, the incident aroused the public anger against the Pinkertons, and there were efforts to help the James boys. Well, Jesse and Frank utilized this type of popular sympathy and support to avoid arrest. That sympathy and support began to wane in the 1870s because these guys were kind of getting a little worse all the time.
Yeah.
All right? Well, in 1876, the gang left their familiar Kansas, Missouri countryside to rob a bank, and this is where you're right, at Mankato, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Mankato, Minnesota. Well, the venture proved to be the downfall of the James Younger gang. In Mankato, they were frightened away by a group of rugged citizens, so the outlaws decided to shift the raid to nearby Northfield.
This was a bad deal.
On September 7th, 1876, the gang failed in their attempt to rob the First National Bank there. Three gang members were killed, while all three younger brothers were captured, effectively destroying the gang. The James Younger gang.
And they were shot to ribbons.
Yeah. Now, the James brothers made it back to Missouri and then disappeared for a time.
Yep.
And using some aliases, Jesse and his wife, Zee, actually lived in Texas, Kansas City, Tennessee. They had a son and a daughter. And on numerous occasions, Jesse was reported being killed. But on July of 1881, he led a new gang into Chicago. And they robbed a train there, cleaned it out.
He just couldn't let it go.
He couldn't let it go. So now, under the name of Thomas Howard, okay, that's where the name Howard comes in, Jesse moved his family to St. Joseph to plan more robberies. However, with more than $50,000 in rewards now posted for Jesse alone. And he lived anonymously for a while, but it got a little more difficult. Bob and Charles Ford, okay, Bob Ford, this is the guy.
Yep.
They joined his new gang with the intention of earning the reward. And on Monday morning, April 3rd, 1882, Jesse finished breakfast, went into his living room with the Ford brothers to finalize plans for a bank robbery. And when Jesse stepped on a chair to straighten a picture, Bob Ford recognized his chance, drew a revolver, and shot a bullet into the back of Jesse's head. As Jesse fell dead, Zee, his wife, ran to his side. The Ford brothers headed for telegraph office to claim their reward. Well, Jesse was buried in the front yard of his mother's farm. For years afterward, his mother actually let tourists come and visit the old farm, and his grave, for 25 cents apiece, they could visit his grave. And also included in the price was his mother's performance. She would curse the detective. She would cry dramatically and put on this show and curse the Ford brothers. And then she would actually sell pebbles that were on the grave for 25 cents apiece. And when she ran out of pebbles, she'd go get some more and put them on the grave. So the Ford brothers were not treated very well after all this happened.
Well,
and
duh.
Charles committed suicide. Bob was shot and killed in 1892.
By?
Don't know. He was shot and killed.
Yeah.
But a few minutes after Jesse's death in 1882, Frank surrendered himself to Missouri Governor Thomas Crittenden. And following a series of trials and legal moves, he was acquitted and released from custody. Frank lived an honest life for another 30 years. And he worked as a race starter at county fairs, as a theater doorman.
Did they let him shoot the gun?
I don't know. In 1903, he became partners with Cole Younger again. And they started the James Younger Wild West Show.
You're kidding.
So eventually, Frank returned to the old Missouri farm where he died at the age of 72 in 1915.
Holy cow.
Now, the rumors that Jesse was not the man murdered in 1882, we've talked about that.
Yep.
And for decades, imposters claimed to be the outlaw, and Jesse did live on, however, more of as a kind of a romantic legend in novels and movies. And you know, he was a thief and a murderer and even an esteemed figure, so much so that Theodore Roosevelt wrote, he said, quote, "Jesse W. James is America's Robin Hood." That's what the president said.
Really? You know, let me ask you this, though. What about the younger brothers? Because in the movie The Long Riders, it stayed pretty close to historical fact. They were shot to ribbons. One was shot through the side of the head and couldn't talk and had to literally live on, like, oatmeal. Did they have their crimes basically forgiven after a period of time?
Well, three of them were dead. Cole was the only one that
survived. One left.
Yeah. So that's why he and Frank were able to get together and start that Wild West show.
I see.
So as far as I know, now I may be wrong on that, but I thought they were
nursed back to health in prison, the younger brothers.
You know,
I'm pretty sure.
You know what? The very next story in my book talks about the younger brothers.
Okay. Why don't you go to the end quick and tell me?
Well, let me see here.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Cole and Jim were paroled in 1901.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, I'm sorry. Jim fell in love with a newspaper woman.
That was his downfall.
and his shattered jawbone was one that he got.
Yeah, he was the one shot in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
Anyway, the younger brothers, they didn't die in prison.
John was killed.
Yeah.
I've got that in my notes.
At Northfield, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cole, Jim, and Bob lived on. Yes, that's true.
There is, real quick, I've only got a minute left here, but there is an annual depiction of what happened in Northfield, Minnesota at the actual bank and everything. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Yeah.
The reenactment.
The reenactment of robbery and what the citizens did to basically thwart it. Interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you. Really interesting story this morning.
Well, and I would like to think most of it's fairly accurate, I hope.
Sounds pretty close.
I think so.
Sounds pretty close. Dr. History did it again. Now, you're not going to be here next week, Thanksgiving week.
No, but we've got a guy lined up.
Okay, I'll look forward to it.
Okay.
God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Thanks,
Thank you.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.